Vicki for the invitation. I rolled into town on December 30th. Can you hear me okay? I rolled into town on December 30th, Fort Mill, South Carolina. I had been reminding myself that my call never changes, but the location certainly does. Now, Fort Mill is not nearly as vibrant as London, as opulent as Dubai, vulnerable as Haiti, or even has the stronghold of Liverpool, PA. Yet I'm here because the Lord called me, and I answered because I'm obedient. On January 3rd, I began my new gig at a ministry where the Lord had prepared a position just for me to use my skills and experiences, my gifts and talents, to continue to work intentionally in His kingdom. MedSend was founded on a very simple principle: to relieve healthcare-related educational debt, to bring hope and healing to a broken and hurting world. Our mission is to fund qualified healthcare professionals to serve the physical and spiritual needs of people around the globe. In 30 years, more than $22 million in grants have been offered. More than 5 million people are provided healthcare, all while hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Our MedSend National Scholars Program helps national believers obtain advanced medical training and Christian mentoring needed to serve people in their home countries. 47% of these medical doctors are also in leadership, working to teach and disciple others. A few years ago, MedSend had to quickly redirect when the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Plan impacted our grant programs. And out of this redirect came the Longevity Project, and the reason I'm here. The Longevity Project provides professional, relational, and spiritual support to global healthcare missionaries to help them to extend their length of service and thrive on the mission field. Let's watch the video from Dr. Jim Ritchie, the project leader and my boss.
Something that I would, I've been just dumbfounded to encounter around the world is how many places where patients are considered to be an inconvenience or a pariah or untouchable. It may be that the medical staff won't touch a patient, because if someone is seriously ill, it is because they have bad karma. And karma rubs off when you touch someone. So the medical staff won't touch the patients. They don't learn physical exam in medical school. Imagine what that's like if you're someone, let's say, from a lower caste who's already, you know, you're already at a different level from the medical staff and their level of training and education. And you have a serious illness, you come to the hospital, you're treated that way, but then you go to a Christian mission hospital where people touch you and examine you and speak to you and want to know about your situation and then ask, you know, how you were doing as a result of that. That is a palpable love of Christ that we don't realize what a difference that is coming from the United States and going to other parts of the world. There's a hospital in Cambodia that I appreciate so much. They have opened a palliative program, a palliative clinic. But when they can get into the Christian Mission Hospital, to this palliative clinic, they are treated with compassion. They're not abandoned. They're loved and treasured and, you know, coached on the end of life and what that means. And that clinic, in that clinic, they say that 80 to 90% of those patients come to follow the Lord because of the compassion that they encounter. That love is powerful in reaching these people with the truth. When you're loved by someone, you know, it really reorients what is possible in this world. What's necessary is for people to encounter love, and that is compelling. And that's what people get to experience when they encounter Christian medicine.
So think of the Longevity Project as an insurance plan. How ironic. spoke of that. They pay an annual fee to receive services such as counseling, debriefing, spiritual direction, coaching and mentoring, and other offerings to strengthen our healthcare missionaries while serving overseas. I simply told the Wednesday night prayer group that I would be gone for a couple of weeks. And then on Sunday, Pastor John pauses his sermon to pray over our ministry in the upcoming retreat. And after the service, I found myself holding a pile of cash that you all had given me to support our work. Five single women serving in really hard places like Ukraine and Iraq and the Horn of Africa were incredibly moved and blessed by your generosity. We thank you. This retreat is one of the offerings of the Longevity Project. It's a week-long conference designed for restoration, debriefing, educational programs, and just time for fellowship amongst other healthcare missionaries. This year, it was held in Antalya, Turkey, a convenient location for those serving in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. 76 people, 33 children and teens from 17 countries gathered. This next video will give you a glimpse into the retreat experience.
My name is Casey, and I am a registered nurse. I work in Uganda. I'm a registered nurse there and also in America. I've been working in a hospital and a clinic as a staff nurse and also training in a program called Helping Babies Breathe, which is neonatal resuscitation for low resource environments. And my family and I have spent this week in Turkey. When we were on the field, I looked at this MedSend retreat and I thought it's gonna be too difficult to get to. But my husband said, no, let's do this. I think we should do this. Turkey was always on his bucket list and so it was perfectly aligned. And so we booked the tickets and got here last week. And each time I talk about it, I want to cry. We talk a lot about cumulative stress environments, and working is on the field is difficult. There's a lot of stress and a lot of poverty and difficult things that happen, mixed with a lot of beauty and a lot of joy and a lot of seeing God's miracles. But this week has felt like a cumulative joy environment, and we're just going from one thing to the next in a really relaxed way. But like, I just did pottery with my kids. I swam in the ocean this morning. My kids are heading over to water slides. Yesterday when I brought my son on the water slides, our whole family, my husband and three kids, went down the water slides, and my son said this is the best week of his entire life, and that was the most fun thing he's ever done. So this week has just been a lot of good food, tons of laughing. I wasn't expecting so much laughing. I think I told somebody my stomach muscles hurt from laughing so much. Lots of good conversations. There's beauty. There's rest. It's just been, I was telling my husband today, I think this has been the best gift that we've ever been given. So thank you, MedSend.
Thank you for listening. I'm grateful to share the works of this ministry and MedSend's mission to extend God's love through compassionate healthcare. And I'd like to end where I began. I shared with you the four countries where I've lived. The Lord and I have been on quite a journey together. The U.S. and most recently PA, the U.K., the UAE, and Haiti. And I gave my one-word description for each location. I've been in Fort Mill for 6 months, and it needs a word. And I came up with a word, and it has multiple meanings. The city, her people, the sunshine, this church in MedSend. I feel it. I feel it. I feel the warmth of Fort Mill, and I'm forever grateful and humbled that the Lord called me here. Thank you.
That was very good. Very good presentation, Kim. And actually rolled the stage out for what I'm talking to you about this morning. I've shared with you the last couple of weeks that that when it comes to these summertime messages, we have it's vacation season. Let's just be honest. So people are going to be here. People are not going to be here. So to do a series is not a really good. It's not smart for me to do that, but I will take the summertime and give pastoral messages. And I've described pastoral messages. The Bible gives us pastoral messages, we being sheep, right? We need to be in his pastures, but there are also boundaries that he puts in our lives, things that keep us in the kingdom, things that keep us working and our hands to the plow. But these, I feel like there are things in the Word that's like God driving posts around our life and then wrapping that in a fence of love, creating a boundary where we can move and flow freely in, and we get in trouble when we walk outside of those boundaries. So pastoral messages keep us where we'll be effective for him. So this morning, I'm actually talking to you and entitled this message, My Calling. Say, My Calling. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, I'm actually going to read all of it, and part of 13. The good thing about me reading Scripture is that it, in no part do you have to decipher what's beneficial to me. Every word of it's beneficial to you. It's when I stop reading Scripture that you got to figure out, now, what is he saying that I can take and leave, chew up, spit out, just because I'm a human being? But this word, thank God for it. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and they were actually known as the most spiritual group of people that they were. They were moving in spiritual giftings, but they also had some of the worst problems that you could imagine that were going on, and he was bringing correction to a lot of that. But he said, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, in other words, many kinds, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the gift is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the work of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Look at your neighbor and say, us. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. That there should be no schism, or that word means division. There should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Can I just stop right there and say, this speaks to order. It speaks to order. Can I tell you that there's a problem because the kingdom of the enemy, the devil, they understand what order is. The enemy has order in his camp. That there are demonic forces that answer to the power of Satan. They understand what order is and the power of it. Do you know where you can go to find disorder and questioning and lack of power from that? Well, you're sitting there. You can go to church and find these things. If we don't have order, if we don't understand what order is, then we will have disorder. And when the church understands the order and the power that comes through order, we will operate in his kingdom like he's called us to operate. Amen. If one member, verse 26, suffers, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these things in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. Goes into verse chapter 13, which is the love chapter. It said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Kim, just like you were talking about with Dr. Jim Ritchie, recognizing the power of love that comes through touch and the difference in people that receive it, and when they don't get what they should get, there's a noticeable difference. So God has that ministry going forth with a purpose. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Whew, that one's a big one, right? I think I just need to clear my throat on that one. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. So here's the thing about the Word of God. When I read things from the Word of God, there are sometimes it just is like, okay, so you're standing there preaching that, really? And I hope that you sometimes are like, so I'm standing here hearing that, really? Because if I took it and I graded myself according to the words, I'm sure many times I would have a grade that at the very least needs improvement. Am I by myself? You want to do something off the charts. To those of you that are married, you want to do something. You want to have your own marriage conference right there in your house. Now, I'll give you the advice, but don't call me afterwards. Read that to each other. But here's the thing. Wife, read it to the husband. And then ask him, where am I not meeting the mark? And you don't get to say anything. Husbands, read that to your wives and ask, where am I not meeting the mark? You don't get to answer anything. You've got to absorb whatever they say and agree to work on it. I hope we don't all end up in divorce court next week. Here's the thing, though. God's word by design will give you tools for your week. tools for your day, tools for your life. You should never come here without feeling like I left with a tool that I can use in my life. My wife laughs at me. I will stop on the side of the road. If I see a hammer, I'll find it too. I'll see a hammer, I'll pull over. Finders keepers, I found me a hammer. I'll find me a wrench. I'll find me a socket. You would be shocked at how many tools fall off of trucks. And here's the thing. I don't want somebody to hit them and ruin their lawnmower blade. So I'm really helping people out. It's not that I'm cheap. Give that brother a gold star. So here's the thing. Romans 11:29. Bring that one up. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Without repentance, some of your translations say. It simply means this: not taken back. The gifts and callings of God are not taken back. And we've got to be careful when we look at somebody that's got a calling on their life. I think we've all seen times when you'll hear parents a lot of times saying, I know my child has a calling on their life. Don't we do that? Maybe they're not walking in it right now, but I know they got a calling on their life. You ever heard anybody say that? They're probably correct. We disqualify people because of their actions that we don't like, but the calling is still on their life. Because you don't have to understand it, but it's the truth. If God gives you something, He does not take it away. You'll see that time and time again. You remember the one with the talent that went and buried his talent? The talent didn't get in trouble. The guy got in trouble because at the end he never used the talent. And God called him wicked servant. Didn't He call him that? At the end. So He did not take the gifts and the callings away. So that's just a side note. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 7. And then I'm going to skip down to 11, verse 16. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. And here's how you walk worthy. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering. Bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body. We just read about that. One Spirit. We read about that. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He's talking to believers right here. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we talked about measuring things out last week. We talked about measuring the amount of forgiveness that we've got to give other people. And the Bible says you've got to forgive to be forgiven. It says that. We've already talked about all that. But these gifts that God has given to men, He's measured them out. We talked about just things that we measure. We only measure things that hold a value. And even in the case where we decide not to measure anything out, because in the case where He said to give no offense, He actually said, one translation said, give none offense. So that's a type of measurement to say, this thing is so powerful, the offense is so, y'all remember that? So powerful, it's so deadly that I want you to give none of it. And I gave the example of fentanyl that they had used on my daughter for a good purpose, but just the tiniest amount, because anything more than that tiniest amount would become deadly. And I used that to measure that whole statement with. If fentanyl, this little bit can be good, but anything more than that can kill you. How much more if He says, okay, in this occasion, when it comes to offense, give none. He must deem that one thing so deadly to the body that He says, none of it. None of it. And we talked about that. So you can go to the podcast and listen to that the last couple of weeks if you missed that. But his gifts and callings are irrevocable. And he says, walk worthy of the calling which you were called. So, verse 1 through 7, let's skip down to 11 through 16 in Ephesians 4. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. These things, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, these are all offices that Jesus was the only one that could fulfill all of them. And he actually broke down part of who he was and gave those gifts to men so that the whole body could be edified and equipped till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see that? He divided himself so that we could be taught how to be like him. That Christ is being formed in us. It literally says that, until Christ is formed in us. So it's not just for those that hold particular offices. It's actually for, they've been given what they've been given so that we can all get what we get. And it all will reflect him till we all come to that place in him. Do you remember way back, Joshua, when God said, Moses, my servant, is dead? And he called Joshua, and he said, be of a good courage. And then he said this, he said, Joshua, you command the officers, and the officers command the people. That was actually a foreshadowing of this book, Ephesians. Let's talk about order. It was this would be like Old Testament Ephesians right here. But you command the officers, I'll speak to you. You command the officers command the people. There was this thing called heralding that kings did. I've told you about that before, but a herald would learn the inflections of the king. They would learn his voices. The herald would sound just like the king. So if you weren't looking and you heard it, you would think, that's the king's voice. I was listening to something. I was in the kitchen doing something this week, and I yelled in there to my mother-in-law and my wife. I said, that's somebody. That's that guy, isn't it? And they're like, yep, I recognized his voice. It'd be like an impersonator. But he was doing it on purpose. And the purpose of that was so that whoever heard that voice go forward, it was just like the king said it. Does that make sense to you? Joshua, I'll speak to you. You command the officers. The officers will touch the people, will speak to the people. So the whole thing is a picture of everybody getting what they're supposed to get. Psalm 133 talks about a commanded blessing. It talks about the order of the priest, and it said that I will put oil on their head, and the oil that hits their head, there's no oil like it. The Bible's described that anointing oil as there's no oil like it. No other oil that's like it. So it's the potency and the power of his anointing. But he said that oil will hit the priest's head, and it will move to his beard. And it will go down to his garments all the way to the hem. And from that, we get a picture of complete coverage. And it gives this picture for us to see. He said, it's like the dew of the Mount Hermon. And when the dew falls, everything that is underneath it gets wet. That's how the oil is supposed to be from God. That's how his word is supposed to be in our lives. You might get it from somebody else, but it never loses its potency to wherever you're at in the body. And the oil that is at the hem is just as power as it was when it hit the head. I feel that. It's just as powerful as it was when it hit the head. Because the only thing that can happen along the way is perhaps someone could block your oil. That's where you've got to be careful, because God doesn't side interject any oil. He lets it come down from the head. And it is his will that we all are saturated in his oil. The oil doesn't lose any of its potency. A matter of fact, if you will let me tell you like this, the only reason the oil hits the head is so that it can get to the beard. The only reason the oil hits the beard is so it can get to the garment. The only reason it goes down the garment is so it can get all the way to the hem. Do you understand the picture that I'm trying to paint for you about the oil of God, about his calling on your life and his purpose in your life, and how he wants us all to be under him and hearing what he has to say to us? Amen. Did I go all the way to 16? Yes, I did. Did I? Where did I stop? 13. George, take your gold star off and give it to her. Till we all come to the unity, that makes it the humility pin. Did y'all hear about the guy that won the humility pin at church? You remember, when I grew up, they had these attendance pins. The church I went to, if you had perfect attendance, you got to put this little pin on. And then they had little bars that went underneath it. Every year you'd get another bar. I mean, I wanted, God, I wanted one of them things so bad. I had a friend that had like 20 of them. That thing was like, it just like moved with him. And I could never get past that first little. So the humility pin, do you hear about the guy that won the humility pin? He won the humility pin. The next week they took it back because he wore it. Wah, wah. I think that's a good joke. Okay, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If you're a part of a church body, you should be growing. You should be growing. Can I be transparent enough here to tell y'all something? I've been astounded sometimes to see people come to the church and never find their place and leave here and go to another place, and all of a sudden they're doing this and doing that and doing that. And I'm like, praise the Lord, but there's a part of me that's like, why didn't I help them find it? Why didn't I help them find it? What did I miss? Maybe there's something that didn't gel just right. But if you ever get to a place, you need to be plugging into that place. You need to be letting the callings that he has on your life come out and manifest in some way. Because it's about his kingdom. Kim, you mentioned those countries that you've lived in, and here you are in Fort Mill. Well, welcome to Fort Mill. I took my son yesterday to Fort Mill Farmers Market. A lot of tables set up at the farmer's market. Only one of them had vegetables. I looked at my son. I said, let's go. This ain't no farmer's market. I was looking for vegetables, fresh fruit, produce. I know you look at me and think, you ain't eat no vegetables. Let me tell you, my problem is not that I don't eat vegetables. My problem is I eat vegetables and everything else in your cabinets. You just let me loosen your cabinets. I'll eat it all. My problem is not, well, I got problems. I don't want to waste your time. Don't want to waste your time with that. But I was looking for fresh vegetables, and there wasn't a farmer's market. Anyway, welcome to Fort Mill, Kim. I digress. If you know where a good farmer's market is at that sells vegetables, you can text me and let me know. Tell me. I want to know about it. So, finding your place is important. Finding your place is important. And what God's got for you is not just for you. Can I tell you this? Your gift is not for you. Think about it. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is to be given back to bring glory to Him. That's why He gifted you with what you've got. Okay, so when I went into ministry, I took these classes. They were called ministerial internship programs, and they meant well, but they were just, they only got you as far as a book will get you. There was really nothing that like the real questions I had, I didn't get those questions. They didn't become a question to me till I started pastoring people. And then I was like, but they didn't teach me about that. They didn't teach me that this was going to go on. And if it went on, I thought that would only go on out there. But it's happening right here. See? But they did a good job of teaching me some basic things that I would need, but they were really putting some things on me that they could only get me so far. I would take it back to what happened with David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I can just tell you this, that, you know, Goliath was there. Saul was there. The Israelites were there. Philistines were there. They were lined up for battle for 30 days. This giant came out and he yelled profanities against the people of Israel and said, bring somebody over here. We're going to find out. We're going to find out whose king is king. We're going to find out who's going to win this thing. And all of a sudden, you know, you got all these soldiers over here on both sides, and you got one guy who's yelling it all out and laying it all on the line, and then here and nobody's brave enough to go against him, and here comes this little fella named David, delivering some cheeses and some breads to his brothers, and the Bible said he heard it. Y'all have heard the story. Said he heard. And he says, who is that uncircumcised? This is a kid. Who's that uncircumcised Philistine talking about our God? And they're just like, oh, well, you go fight him. Word got to the king Saul. And all of a sudden, a kid finds himself in the presence of a king. That same kid had already been in the presence of a king. And that king that saw David was so afraid that he said, you're the one that'll fight him for us then. You're just a boy, but you're the one. But you can't go up there and fight him just like you are. So let me give you my armor. Let me give you my chain mail armor. Put this on you. Put my helmet on you. Put my sword on you. And by the time it says that he was just crippled with it all. It's just too heavy for him. He said, I can't go in your stuff. And it says he unclothed himself from those things. Well-meaning people will put things on you that it's their thing, but it's not your thing. And all you need is his thing. And his thing is his calling on your life. And from that point, you take your calling, and according to His Word, He will equip you from that point, and He'll give you teachers and people that will speak things into your life and build you up, but not so you look pretty on Sunday. It's so that we do things out here that bring glory back in here, and lives are changed. Lives are changed. People's lives changed. That's the calling of God. The calling of God is this. You'll know when the whole thing shakes down. Now, we can't all go to Turkey, and we can't all go to Iraq, and we can't all, we support India. We can't all go there, but we can support people that are there. But everybody's got a calling, and here's one way you can recognize the calling on your life. It's like Kim saw the lady. And she said, I've listened to it over and over again every time I cry. When things make you cry in church world, that might be an indicator that you've got a calling in that area. You don't need to work in children's ministry if you can't stand kids. Does that make it point enough for you? But if he puts something inside of you that moves you inside, he probably wants to add something to that. And here's how you shake the whole thing down about the calling on your life. At the end of the day, your calling should bring souls into Christ. Should bring souls into the kingdom. It should be, there should be something about what you're doing that brings people into the kingdom of God because of that love factor. You're doing what you love to do. People can receive what you love to do. They can. So you can't walk in someone else's armor. Last scripture, Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. That one right there makes it about as plain as it can be. What he's saying is, while you're here, you're valuable. While you're here, you have a purpose. I want to let you know that when you got to this earth, God didn't say, oh, there's Amanda. Oh, I got to figure out something for her to do. That Amanda, I got to figure out something for John Kelly. Now that he's been born, I got to figure out something for John to do. I don't know. See how ridiculous that is? God already had something to do, and he created you. He had something to do, so he created you. You got to step into that. Purpose is something you step into. I don't want to spend my whole life trying to find my purpose. That's a trick of the enemy, and it's plain right here. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. I've seen people, they couldn't sing, hold a note and a bucket. But they didn't know that. Nobody told them. And they were singing with all their might. That's great in the crowd, but you can't put a microphone and attach it to that. Because we'll all be like, oh, my Lord. Can I just be real with you? That's not your calling. That's why you have other people around you that can help you with that and love you and say, you know what? That drive you got, I love it. So it might be a whatever. It might be a whatever. But we're going to keep on putting things in your hand, and you're going to keep doing it with all of your might. My son, I'll tell you this, he's good at basketball. He never played baseball. He went to some friend's house this week, and they were hitting baseball. So he gets up there, and he starts, pow, hitting that ball. And like, you ain't ever played baseball before? He said, nope. He said, well, maybe you should have. Find out something that you can do. Whether he could swing a bat or not, he swung it with all of his might, right? Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. And here's what he's saying with it. You're going to the grave. Every one of us is going to the grave. Get over it. We're going to die one day. And if I traumatized you completely with that, then I did dismiss for children's church. I did do that a little while ago. For crying out loud. Yeah. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom. See, those are powerful things. Saying there is work, there are devices, there is knowledge, there is wisdom, but he said it doesn't go to the grave with you. you're going to the grave, and I can use these things now while you're alive. I want to be used by God. Amen. Anybody else want to be used by God? I believe you do want to be used by God. And when you find that place where you know that God has for you, nobody will have to beg you to be at your post. Nobody will have to beg you to show up. You'll be there because you want to be there, because you're called to be there. And anything that comes with that, you'll take, but I'm going to be at my calling. I'm going to do this thing I love because it glorifies God in my life. Amen. Amen. It's like I said last week. Boy, aren't these pastoral messages fun? We don't come down and cry all over each other and snot all over each other and prove how good the makeup is. Makeup makers should come to church and test it out right here. You should test your makeup out when you come to church. I talked about trusting, your trust being challenged. When you come to church, your makeup should be challenged. Oh, that'd preach someplace real good. I guess it's not just for y'all, though. But something moves us. Something moves us. And I want us to be moved to action. I want us to be moved into, because we're a part of a kingdom, right? We're part of a kingdom. Don't you believe that God's got something for you to do while you're on this earth? If that's you, will you stand right now? I believe God's got me on this earth for a purpose. I believe God's got me on this earth for a purpose. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for instruction that comes from your word. Thank you for the posts that are pillared down into our lives and for the fencing and the boundaries of your word, how you'll keep us in green pastures. Thank you, God, for your pastoral touch to us. You are the good shepherd. You're the one that leads us to the places that we should be. You're the one that stakes off territory for us. Your kingdom is all about territory, and we're grateful to be in your kingdom. God, help us to find our place, to man our post, to be thankful for our calling, and to work it for your glory. And to not let anything keep us from that. Because there is a day when we will lay all those things down. But as long as we are here, let us be at your disposal, working in your kingdom, pleasing you, finding out what pleases you, and then doing that. Thank you because you give us the strength to do that. Thank you because when you call us, you equip us, God. Thank you because your word is full of instruction. Just help us to obey it. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys as you go today. Keep praying for my wife. She's going to be back soon, and things will be way better when she's here, believe me.